James, NKJV. So it'll be on the screen for you. There was a whole lot going on, but Jesus had just got through clearing something up for his disciples, and he just told them this. With men, things are impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the God that we serve. There really is nothing that's impossible for him. And I'm going to say, the Lord showed me things that I've never seen before. So I believe this is for you. Showed me some things in these passages I've never seen before. We just look at the one beside you and say, let's go up. Let's go up. Let's go up. Let's go up. Beginning in verse 32, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. And he said this, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. They were afraid. How many of you know, when you get afraid, sometimes you just start acting crazy? When you really get afraid, sometimes you just say something crazy. When you get afraid, sometimes the next thing out of your mouth makes no sense. He had just told them what is about to happen. A moment in time is going to take place. And after that takes place, 3 days are going to pass, and I'm going to rise. And things will never be the same. They will be forever fixed. My plan from the beginning will be fulfilled. And they come out with this next thing. Then, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Crazy. But we've done it. You ever acted crazy in front of God? Crazy. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said, can I tell you that when you start talking crazy, Jesus has got an answer for you? He can fix that. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us. I've never said that to anybody. Grant me. Grant us that we may sit. This is two of the disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also known as the sons of thunder. They caused such a disturbance. This might be where they got the thunder at, because they ticked off all the other disciples right here. that Jesus can handle conflict. Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. So they didn't understand that he was about to be, they heard him say, I'm about to get taken in, and they're going to spit on me, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to kill me. So they put a little addendum. Can we ask for something and you'll do it? Let us sit on either side of you, but don't do it till you get in your glory. So I don't want to be there when they start killing folks. But I'll sit right there beside you in the glory time. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Still crazy. They ain't fixed yet. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. Can I tell you, sometimes that we ask God for things, it's not that we're going to get them, you're just not going to get them yet. It's just not time yet. Not before his time. It's not going to happen before his time. And this is prepared. This is a prepared thing. So you just getting in on the glory of it, you can't just pull up a table, a chair to the table and say, oh, I get to sit here. No, you don't. And when the 10 heard it, so now they have a division amongst the disciples. Two disciples acting crazy, all of them scared. And then the 10, you notice the history of this shows, these guys were a mess. And I believe that the reason that the 10 were upset was not just in context of what they said, is that we didn't think of it first. Man. When the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. The division is taking place. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, this teaching moment right here. You, 12, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Been talking about discipleship, right? This is something that does not fall into line with discipleship. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. They're on their way to go up to Jerusalem, and Jesus said, behold, in other words, look, get this picture. We are going up to Jerusalem. And this conflict, I think it's just a good sign of your enemy that even in the middle of Jesus telling them this, and this is Jesus we're talking about, the setting is, he's right there. You understand that Jesus was right there. And conflict came right after this great unveiling of what he told them over and over. But this is about to happen now. And we're going up to Jerusalem because it's getting ready to all break loose in Jerusalem. But we're going there. And before he can get there, things break loose right there in his own ranks. And they're acting crazy because they're afraid. And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. They were on their way to Jerusalem, but they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho, so they came to Jericho, and now he's going out of Jericho. with his disciples. He went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. I want you to get this picture. Please get this picture. I'm going to try to paint it for you. In those days, people might be named like, my name is John. But if we went by, if I was going to follow my dad's name, I would be Bar Frank, because my dad's name was Frank Douglas. So Bar Frank Douglas meant son of Frank Douglas. There was Simon Bar Jonas, son of Jonas. You get that? So this is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Okay? So they come through Jericho, and there's this great multitude of people, and there's blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And I'm going to tell you, this is a moment in time. And you've got to recognize the moments in time in your life. There will be times when Jesus is passing by. Spiritually speaking, when his spirit is there. And it's up to you to recognize that. Do you remember that Jesus wept? Do you remember why he wept? Because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. Everything is not on him. There's some things that you need to be open and ready for just in case. And this is a moment in time. Now, here's how this played out. Can you imagine just walking through Jericho and you're Jesus? You can't just walk by some places in your life. There are certain places that you go through right now. But if you drive by this place, something happened there that was so great that you will always remember that place. Does that happen to anybody? That spot where something happened in my life. Jesus is walking by the place because even back then he was present with the Father. You understand that? The Spirit. When God caused Jericho's walls to fall and crumble the whole thing, I have to think that it passed through Jesus' mind. I know what my Father did here. Jesus knew everything. You couldn't have got that past him. He did it. He was there when it happened. So I tell you, there are things that are moments in time. This place, Jericho, see, they had read about it and they had heard about it. This place, Jericho. But it can't be just a story that happened. It has to be something that's reminded in us. That's why we break the Word of God open. That's why we talk about the things that God has already done. That's why I told you last week, God told Moses, you can see my hind part, but you can't stand to me face to face. Not yet. It's just not time yet. But you can see, you'll see enough in my hind part. You'll see everything I've already done. And because of everything I've done, that's just enough to get you through anything that you'll go through. So he came through Jericho, and you know what God did there. So it's in the mind of Christ, and when he heard that, he heard this man begging, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He sat by the road. The word road right there, or the highway, that meant the partings of the highways. He sat in a place where people would travel by, the partings of the highways, like an intersection. There's a reason a guy is not holding a sign on an old country one-lane dirt road that says, help. There's a reason he goes to a place, because 5,000 vehicles are going to pass through there. And if 10 of them will help me out. Do you see what I'm saying? So here's Bartimaeus right here. And the word says this, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, this is Bartimaeus, when blind Bartimaeus, how would you like to be called blind John Morgan? Y'all know blind John? I don't want to be identified by my infirmity. I'll keep moving. Blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We just got through singing a song that said, shout Jesus. Can I tell you that Jesus heard him? But Jesus kept walking. Do you know there's other scriptures that in the middle of the night things were going crazy and Jesus was walking on the sea, and the scripture says this, and they were greatly distressed, but Jesus was walking on the sea and he would have passed them by. Doesn't it say that? It did not say, I saw them greatly distressed, so I ran over there and had to swim and almost drowned myself. He would have passed them by because he knew what they thought was going to kill them wasn't going to kill them. We sweat, and Jesus never sweats. You understand that, Jesus? Let me say it like this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to him? Think about that. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to him? When he heard Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Louder. The next word is so. Something happened between the first cry out. The people that were there, I think they noticed it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, stop that. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The first one. This is Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus! No, be quiet. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So, something got his attention. Do you think he didn't hear him the first time? I'm sure he did. Do you think that sometimes you cry out to God and he doesn't hear you? Wrong. Can I tell you that nothing has ever occurred to him, so he sees a whole picture. And you see what would work out for you. We see our scenarios. It's right up there with Jesus. Hey, well, can I ask you something and you'll do it? What a preface. And the thing is obviously going to be to my benefit. And we're not good with it when we don't see it being to our benefit, are we? These people tried to shush him. Walker. Just tried out for Rock Hill High School basketball. Ninth grader. He decided in sixth grade he wanted to play basketball. Never played. We bought him a basketball. Seventh grade. The sixth grade, the rule is you can't play basketball in the sixth grade. You've got to acclimate to the class. Seventh grade, you can try out. Seventh grade, he tried out. Got cut. Broke his heart. And he was good. Broke his heart. But to be truthful, he just wasn't good enough yet. And to be fair, Walker was born. This is a dad being defensive for his son. Walker was born with about 2 weeks left inside of a window where he had to register for school. So that meant that almost every other kid's going to have a birthday when he's not had his yet. When Walker graduates high school, he'll just be turning 17. How about that? So I said, son, I can't hardly stand it. Because now you got to play against kids. Can I tell you how fast? Y'all know, you got kids, you know how fast they grow in a year, right? I said, son, you're going to be the underdog. And I'm pulling for you. But I was trying to give him a little bit of buffer to. And he didn't feel sorry for himself. He worked harder. So eighth grade came around. And he tried really hard. And they cut him that night. And he came to the car, and he was so upset and cried. And I was like, I'm trying to be dad. I want to shake somebody and say, what do you not see about my son, Shot? He's awesome. And he poured it on. And all this week he had tryouts. All what? High school tryouts. Ninth grade. All this week. Can y'all tell I'm proud of my son? Spoiler alert. But during the week, with about two more nights, and it's the night that they're going to start cutting. And he is so hard on himself. I had the worst practice, Dad. I had the worst practice. I know I'm going to get cut. He didn't get cut. The next night, they're going to cut some more. He did not even hear the coach. He was worried. He went to the coach. He said, Coach, I'm telling you, I'm not on my game. I can't hit anything. And the coach had already, he just told him, he said, Walker, you've probably already made it to Thursday night. And the thing is, if you make it to Thursday night, you've probably made the team. He told him that on the side. He was walking in total defeat. So that night he came home and he said, Dad, the coach had us all sitting there. He said, while we were all sitting there getting ready to talk, and he said, one of the players beside me, he said, the guy looked at me, he said, hey, man, you're pretty good, but you're probably going to get cut tonight. There's a reason they don't allow parents in the gyms these days. And it ain't all COVID. It ain't all COVID, I promise you. But I know y'all never struggle with y'all's flesh or anything like that. It's your kids, that's right. It's my kids. But I let it ride, and I just told him, I said, son, let your practice do your talking. Let your play shout. When people get afraid, they start talking crazy. The next day, that kid that said that, God bless him. I hope he works hard for next year. But my son made the team. I know pride comes before a fall, so I'll just go ahead and fall down right here. Why would Jesus hear his name called and not do anything? And then the man says it a little bit louder, and there's a, so Jesus stopped. What would that happen? Did he hear him the first time? Yes. But like I told you a minute ago, it's not that he withholds something from you. Sometimes a little time has to just take place so he can fix it and he can expose things. Some of you right now are going to find out how the Lord allowed just a little time to take place so that you could be shouting Jesus with your actions, and a tipping place, a tipping point is coming when favor will move for you. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe some of you do too. So some people shushed him. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the man, saying to him, be of good cheer. I think they got into the crazy category with that one. Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. How about that? The same people that were shushing him were now having to notify him, it's your turn. Is there not a scripture that says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies? There will be some times in your life when you did not realize there's a valley of a shadow of death, but God still got you. And he might have to let the enemy and the naysayers see it so he can prove his goodness. Because after all, favor does mean that this one gets a little extra. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, favor's not fair. And it's not merited. And throwing aside his garment. There's going to come times when you got to get past the naysayers. But this is what faith will do. Faith will move you forward in vision. That's very important. Faith will move you forward in vision. What you are hearing goes through an ear gate so that you can move into a vision that only got to you by faith, but now it can be carried out. And here's the thing about your gates. You get to decide what passes through. You get to decide, son, if that guy has a voice into your life or if he's just talking. I saw a thing where it showed, it was a really cool thing where this big, powerful bulldog was on one side of a fence. And he's walking along the edge of the fence, or actually just going down on a sidewalk. But inside the fence, there's this little chihuahua, them little loud little dogs. Sound like stammering lips on that little dog. And it's just giving it. That's like running up, charging that fence. But there's a fence. And the only thing, and I would like to have been the fence gate bearer. And I just like to hit that dog. I bet you that dog would have turned inside out. Just hearing that. Is somebody opening that gate and running back inside to cover? But the bulldog is cool the whole time. He's just walking, not even looking. He has no bearing. And that's how you've got to be. No bearing on what the enemy says. You choose who gets to be a voice in your life. You choose. It's your choice. They can say it, but you decide if you process it or not. It's your choice. And what this man did in the process was, I will now, I've yelled it, but I'll find inside of me the strength to yell it louder, because I've got to drown out the other voices around me so I can only hear the thing that sounds most like faith. And sometimes you're going to be so alone that the biggest source of faith is going to be what's coming only out of you. David said this too. Yes, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But he also says, I got to encourage myself in the Lord. There was some self-encouragement and followed shortly by a reward of, so Jesus stopped. It said, bring him to me. Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Now look what happens. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You know what's wild about that? He hasn't received his sight yet. Throwing aside his garment. The Bible says this about those garments. Those garments were so big that a man would have that garment on him. It was so big that he would oftentimes lay on that garment and sleep in it. Do you understand that you've got a garment of praise that you put on? And that garment that he had been laid down in, some of you are laying down in a garment of self-loathing, wondering, is he going to pass me by? Can I tell you he's about to? And you've got to take that thing off and say, that doesn't fit me anymore. That's not my clothing anymore. And he threw that thing off of him, and it said, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? His own disciples said, Jesus, can we ask you to do something for us and you'll do it? But everything's changed. Can you imagine the disciples say, wait a second, we hang together every day and we ask you for something, but you're offering this to this guy. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. There's the proof right there. He had not even received his sight yet. But his faith became his eyes, because we walk by, not by, we walk by faith, not by sight. And all of a sudden, he's over there in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want? He said, I want my sight. Now it's going to get real powerful. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. There's another translation that says, for go your way, it says, depart. Your faith has made you whole. It's made you well. Depart. That word right there, when he said, go your way, it meant this. It meant you're free to go, to permit one to depart freely wherever he wishes. That's what Jesus did for him. We just sang another song, What Mercy Did For Me. We get that every day. His mercies are new every day. Amen. Some of you know that you wore out the majority of them one day at a time. And I've done the same thing, but they're new every morning. Aren't you thankful for that? And it says this about what's going on right here. You are free to go, to permit one to depart freely wherever he wishes. And that's the translation, and that's what Jesus was saying. He said, I just healed you. Now you can go. Do you remember Jesus said he's on his way to Jerusalem? Let's go up to Jerusalem. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. The scripture said we're on our way up to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, let's go up to Jerusalem. Then he heals this man, and Jesus says, you're free to go. Now the choice is yours. In other words, this, what I did in my healing of your body does not capture you and make you just mine right here. There's a whole lot more. You can see things that you've never seen before, and you are free to go. You're free to go. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road that led to Jerusalem, the road that was the destination. And he made the choice, I'm going to follow Jesus. Can you imagine being at that place where he was at? The naysayers were behind him by now. And he could have gloated in all of that. And he said, no, I will follow Jesus to Jerusalem. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, chapter 11, I'm going to stop right there. Because I think I must pick this up tomorrow. Sunday, next week. Pick it up tomorrow and look at it a little more for y'all for Sunday. Translation. I'm bailing myself out a little bit. A lot, okay. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, so in other words, you can get right there. Jesus said, we're going someplace, and they got there. All the twists and turns, they do not know. But they got there. But I had to look at places like I looked at Jerusalem, and it just grasped me that in the beginning it says, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. The next verse, behold, Jesus says this, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And then chapter 11, first verse, now when they drew near Jerusalem, I said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. God, what does it mean? I'm going to look up Jerusalem. I'm going to look up the word Jerusalem. I'm going to do a word study on Jerusalem right here. And it blew my mind. Jesus does everything with great intention. Great intention. With you on his mind. You're included. Can you just look at your neighbor and tell him you're included? And you tell him this, it's a setup. It's a setup. I said, you've got to find moments. There are moments that set things up. And this was one of them. Passing by Jericho was a setup. Going to Jerusalem was a setup. Jerusalem meant this. Jerusalem, where a certain sacred emphasis. This is the definition of the word. Where a certain sacred emphasis, so to speak, resides in the very name. It's saying that just the name Jerusalem means so much to the believer. Jesus was born right outside of Jerusalem in Bethlehem, right outside the gates. Jesus would die right outside the gates of Jerusalem on Golgotha. Right outside. And it said, this place holds such a sacred emphasis that just the very mention of the name, something powerful resides in that. Why? Jesus, in this vicinity, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you about finding moments. This is where Jesus, the vicinity of where he was born and where he was going to die. Don't you think that it would hold something powerful in that area? So I went on and looked at it a little deeper. The realm of possibilities is completely opened up. Destination. Things start here and things end here. Start here. And end here. Jesus started here and he fixed everything that it would end here so that it could start here. He had to die. He had to be buried and he had to be resurrected. He had to rise again. And the Bible says this, if the rulers of this world knew what was going on, they'd have never, ever killed Jesus. Wouldn't have happened. That right there lets you know Satan doesn't know everything. I've told you this over and over. We got the wrong idea of our salvation. And we get this idea that it's God versus the devil, that it's good versus evil, that it's light versus darkness, and we're dangling right there in the middle as the prize and hoping that God wins. He's already won. But the enemy is trying to convince you that he knows everything. But God does. And it's nothing is going to occur to God. This is an area for the believer that forever is established right here at Jerusalem. My forever is forever established right here at Jerusalem. Very powerful place. And then it gets this. This is where you got to see this whole thing about going up. Now we will go up to Jerusalem. They were going up. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus said, behold, we're going up. Now they drew near to Jerusalem. And this was the most fascinating thing about Jerusalem and everything that I picked through. Jerusalem is so elevated to go up fitly describes the approach to it from any quarter. My pastor in Alabama, I was his youth pastor, he went and visited Israel. In the city of Jerusalem. And he said, I got something for you. I got you something. I brought you a gift back. And I opened up a little bitty box and I thought, this is going to be powerful. I know this man. He's a great man. This is going to be awesome. And I was looking forward to opening it up. And when I opened it, I was like, thanks. Oh, thanks. You know what kind of gifts get my attention? Not just eggs. Green eggs. Green eggs and ham. Let me tell you what else gets my attention. Because those help make this right here right. Pound cake. And somebody brought me a cake last week. And somebody brought me a cake this week. So I'm thinking next week, I don't know. I don't want to fall into a prophecy, but prophetic mode. But and Karen just told me, she said, we didn't give you anything for Pastor Appreciation Day, but I made this cake. I was like, I felt the anointing all over me. Why did I even go there? What'd you say? The gift from the pastor. She's always bailing me out. So I got these gifts, and I got that little gift from the pastor. I'm like, gee, thanks. You really didn't have to. I mean, you didn't have to. I mean, because I did not know that that little gift was going to have such bearing on me. It was just a little bitty, probably brass or pewter or something. It was an like a round image of Jerusalem. And it's like a ball. And he was excited to tell me, I thought, you didn't think long, that's in the airport on the way. Oh yeah, John, yeah, that perfect, bro. I give that to him. And he said, you don't understand. I know you haven't been there, but you can see it from a distance and everything is up here and you can look on it and there's a wall all the way around. You gotta come up to it. Something about Jerusalem. Something about a moment. There's something about a place where God did all of this work. He started things. He ended things right there. And you can get to it from anywhere. And the only way to fitly describe it is to say, let's go up to Jerusalem. And the fact that anyone can get there if they'll simply be willing to go up to it. And the Bible describes this. It said there's a present Jerusalem that talks about how things are right now. But the scripture in Galatians says there is a, chapter 4 talks about a heavenly Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem that's going to come down. I don't even know why I get emotional about that, but I can tell you there's something that happens in the heavenlies when I know that I'm climbing up and He's coming down and it's all in His plan. And there's going to be this collision at some point and I'm included in it. And I just have to know that His plan includes me coming up and Him coming down. And at some point, there's a tipping place where He's going to meet me right there. And it's going to establish my forever, forever. Christine, will you come play? I'm just telling you that our worship is so powerful here, but I don't want to just worship about something that I'm not seeing happen throughout the week. I told you the other week what was happening was so powerful. I just had to stand back and just watch it. I didn't want to try to add anything to it because I knew my adding to would take away. It was so powerful. I was like, God, I'm just stay right here. I just I can't do a thing. But God, I just saw all over. I just saw, whoa, you're doing that. Yeah. Ooh, you, ooh, God, whoa, God, you, whoo. And some of you have got to that place where you've shouted Jesus and a naysayer has spoken, but you're shouting it louder. And it's in your actions now. And I told you that the only thing I could tell you was that there's a wine. We were singing about new wine. And there was nothing wrong with the wine. And He poured it out. And that's why when we come together and we worship like that, it just feels so right. I feel like I can do it. But we have failures during the week. And the Lord showed me it's because you're trying to put new wine in old skins and it just doesn't work. You're trying to put this. There's nothing wrong with the wine. There's nothing wrong with what you're feeling. It's real. It's authentic. It's for you. But it will be spilled out very quickly if you don't have the flesh container to hold it. If you don't submit the wine. He said, put the new wine into new skins so that it can expand. Can I tell you He's trying to expand you?
Yes.
Can I tell you that His word can only expand you? And if you can't hold it, and He's so good, He does it all again every week. He does it all again, and it's for you every time. Don't let the enemy lie to you. But I'm telling you, there's a place that you can walk in it now. And it's not just on Sunday between certain hours. It's every day. Every day. Every night. Every afternoon. Every early morning. Every waking hour. While you're sleeping, there's not a time when you're around people or when you're completely alone. There's not a time that it's not real and that it's not for you. Will you just look at the person beside you and say, let's go up. Let's go up. Because He's coming down. It's going to happen. He's coming down. Are you? Are you going up? Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your wine. God, touch us so that we can hold it every day. Not just a little while, all day, all night, all week. It can be our life. We can walk in your plan. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.